Mr. Steyer.
I think we're talking
we will
about
get
Matt.
To you, Mr. Sanders.
Let's talk
let
about
me,
it.
Can I say something?
Look, first of all,
let me go.
Oh my God. Last night's Tower of Babel, during which a Democratic debate occasionally broke out, the CBS moderators are being taken to task for not corralling the candidates better. But what else can we take away from what we heard, the way we hear it, especially from the women? In 2016, the Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton was called shrill, even though voice analysis showed hers was average in pitch and loudness for people her age and gender. Sherry Turkle is closely listening, and she says something radical is going on this time. She's author of many books, including Reclaiming Conversation, and she's founding director of the MIT Initiative on Technology and Self, How We Talk in the Digital World. She's on Skype from New York. Sherry, your thoughts first on this cacophony last night.
Well, Stephen Colbert closed his monologue last night, calling this basically a food fight, and it did look like a frat party. If women had been alone on that stage, it would have been disqualifying for all of them.
Well, the reviews have been negative, even though it was mostly men on the stage. But are you saying it would have been more so?
Absolutely. If that had been Klobuchar, Warren, and Harris screaming at each other, that would have been the end of the careers of those three women.
Elizabeth Warren was very firm, as she has been, in laying out that she's the person with plans.
I've been in the Senate when I've seen gun safety legislation introduced, get a majority, and then doesn't pass because of the filibuster. Understand this. The filibuster is giving a veto to the gun industry.
Our friend, the Boston Globe writer, Renee Graham, tweeted out, "Mark my words, tomorrow people are going to say she sounded angry when she's just speaking forcefully." Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I was on Twitter during the debate, and there is a lot of things like, "I'm done. I've had enough. She's gone."
Well, after the debate in Nevada, Washington Post columnist Jennifer Rubin said mean and angry is not a good look for Warren. Rubin went on to say, "Her righteous but naked aggression made some women uncomfortable."
Well, I would go further. I would say it made some men uncomfortable, that if you actually look at what she's saying and her tone of voice, it's extremely controlled, but it's controlled the way a prosecutor is controlled. I mean, she is prosecuting a case. But listen to what Bloomberg said about her last night.
"And I don't know what else she wants us to do.
Oh, I'll be
We're
clear.
Following exactly what she asked
I'll
to do.
Exactly
and the trouble is, with this senator, enough is never enough."
Nothing is enough for her.
Now, this was Michael Bloomberg following what some say was one of the most fascinating and for some very disturbing moments in the debate. This was after Elizabeth Warren, first of all, talked about a story we've heard that when she was a young mother and was pregnant, she was told to leave the business. But then she pivoted and said, "Today we have Michael Bloomberg," and I'm paraphrasing, saying, "Kill it." Let's listen to that moment.
"At least I didn't have a boss who said to me, 'Kill it,' the way that Mayor Bloomberg
never
alleged
said that.
To have said to one of his pregnant employees."
Now, we have to put this in context, Sherry Turkle. This is someone who worked for Michael Bloomberg. A young woman said that that was his response when she told him that she was pregnant. He denies that he said that. Your thoughts on that moment?
Well, when he says nothing is enough for her, that language is as though he's talking about placating an angry spouse. But I find that kind of language in talking about women's anger in this contest is widely used, as though nothing will be enough for her. And it's that kill it moment which really froze the debate, because it's really the most radical thing that happened. And it continued on in her interview with Chris Matthews, where Chris Matthews kept saying, "You believe he's lying just to protect himself. Why would he do that? You think he's that kind of person?" I mean,
but we have to say he denies he said it, even though, according to reporting, there was a witness in the room who heard him say it. And of course, the woman says that he said it. But I'm wondering if, just from a sheer debate analysis, you say the room froze. I'm betting it's in part because the people I was sitting with had no idea what she was talking about. They hadn't heard this story. Did she make a mistake? She has been, putting daggers in Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Did she make a mistake this time, do you think?
She may have made a mistake because people weren't familiar enough with the incident, whereas when she was talking about the NDAs, they were more familiar with the story.
The non-disclosure agreements, yeah.
Yes. But I think that why somebody like Bloomberg has a hard time even feeling that he's done something wrong, because this whole discussion has taken place, if it took place, in an atmosphere where it's being discussed in a kind of as if land
well,
in their heads.
Yeah, it's also on his territory. It's, you know, he's the boss.
Yes.
I want to ask you about something else, Sherry Turkle. We've been reading a great Cognoscenti article here at our home station, WBUR. It was written by Julia Witz Schlack. She quotes Heather Sylvain Horn, who sets up the premise about all the female candidates this time around. Acceptable female passion and aggression in American culture is typically cloaked in the language of motherhood. So Clinton was the it takes a village mom. Sarah Palin was the hockey mom, the mama grizzly. Warren, Klobuchar, I would say, you know, some of the other candidates, female candidates as well, who aren't on the stage, are not portraying themselves as moms.
I think that's absolutely right. As a matter of fact, Amy Klobuchar almost had a death-defying, killing-her-candidacy moment when it came out that she ate her food with a comb.
And who hasn't been there?
I mean, people went berserk because on an airplane, when they didn't give her an implement, she ate her food with a pocket comb. I mean, a mom would tear that pocket comb out of a child's hand and say, never do that.
Well, she also was called in that incident somebody who was mean to the people who worked with her. And, you know, we always keep those kind of open for question because a woman, again, can be called mean or angry in the same case where a man might just be aggressive.
Exactly. And all of the women who ran, Kamala Harris, Gillibrand, none of them really came out as, you know, with their maternal bona fides being put forward first. Look at how Hillary Clinton came back in the primaries last time. She cried.
After New Hampshire, yeah.
After New Hampshire, and she broke down in tears that people were willing to take a second look at her. So it was a completely different kind of candidate, a completely different kind of vibration. Mm. So I think we're seeing a revolution in how women are allowing themselves to appear on the national stage. And I think that people are actually having a hard time with it, a very hard time with it.
Just briefly on Amy Klobuchar, there's a great picture going around. And again, you've been watching social media. That's your expertise. There was that great picture of her standing with kind of her hands up in exasperation between Tom Steyer and Joe Biden as they argued over her head, as if she wasn't there. But talk about some of her comments. She criticized somebody's policy by comparing it to, you know, you think you're just going to bring a hot dish over to Russia?
Exactly.
So it does feel as if she does feel that she has to put in some of those, you know, those signals that signal I'm still someone who can bake.
I think Amy Klobuchar is trying to have it both ways. She signals this kind of down-home folksiness, not just by talking about her kind of third way, but by making these gestures towards cooking and food and hot dishes and a kind of hominess. On the other hand, she has been, you could argue, that her style of attacking Buttigieg showed a kind of unbridled hostility.
Klobuchar also had that famous statement. Of course, the women on the stage, do I think we would be standing on that stage if we had the experience Pete Buttigieg had? No, I don't.
Exactly. She actually called it out. But she actually had the bravery to say to Pete, are you making fun of me?
Do you think I'm dumb?
Are you talking down to me?
No.
These gender things have been very raw and discussed and very out there. Mm.
Sherry Turkle, she watches how we speak to each other. That's what she does in her books. And also, she's the founding director of the MIT Initiative on Technology and Self program in science, technology, and science. Sherry, thank you so much for your observations.
My pleasure.